الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we are in a Friday which is blessed not only because it is Friday, but also because it is in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized the blessedness of this first 10 days. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there are no other days in the year where good deeds are so much appreciated by Allah than on the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Pure saal mein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dusre dino ke binisbat neki ko sarahta hai aur neki ko pasand karte hai, jis tarah se is pehle ashra-e Zulhijjah mein. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said, one roza in the first 9 days of Zulhijjah is equivalent to 1 year's roza. And to make ibadat on one night of Zulhijjah, the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah, is equivalent to standing in Laylatul Qadr. So these are very mubarak and blessed days. So today we have a Jummah, and also together we have that it is in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Then is also the time of the year where there are many aspects, there are many blessed events and blessed acts that are carried out in these 10 days. One of them is Udhiyah and Qurbani. And inshallah, we will make mention of it either towards the end or maybe inshallah on the day of Eid, we will speak about the significance of Udhiyah and Qurbani. Together with that, tomorrow the Hujjaj will be going to Mina to start off the Mubarak and blessed act and amal and arkan of Hajj. And this is something that I thought that I will use this as a basis to speak about the blessed Hajj of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all know that out of all the arkan, Hajj was made faraz last. Tamam arkan mein se Hajj ko Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne sabse baad faraz kiya hai. And there are reasons for that. Right, one of the reasons is that this was the growth and the establishment of Islam that demanded that Hajj be the last that becomes compulsory, because in that there are certain conditions. In namaz and salat, there are not so many conditions. You don't have required amount of wealth. You don't need wealth to be able to perform salat, for example. But in Hajj, there are certain types of conditions you have to fulfill to be able to perform Hajj. In today's situation, you have to put yourself on sahuk, a quota, and for you to go and perform Hajj. So Hajj, by its very nature, demands greater conditions. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Hajj faraz last. Hajj was made faraz in the 9th year after Hijrah. After Hijrat, on the 9th year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj faraz. If you were to consider that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the 11th year after Hijrat, that means Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood only saw 2 Hajj, which was faraz. And in the 9th year, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the leader of the Hajj. To be the leader of the Hajj. Allah ta'ala ne Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu ko Hijri, no Hijri ko Amir Hajj muntakhab farmaya. Right? And that was the first time Hajj was made faraz. After Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had left Madinah Munawwara for the sake of Hajj, the Quranic ayat was revealed, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. Where the way of the days of ignorance, Hajj, was not going to be permitted after that. So after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had left, this ayat was revealed. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he was from Bani Hashim, and this was such an important announcement to make. It was appropriate that someone from Bani Hashim should make it so that it gain acceptance within the broader Arabian society. So when Nabi Karim SAW sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu afterwards. So when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu met up with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him the first question. Did Nabi Karim SAW send you as an Amir to replace me as an Amir so that I will abdicate? Look at the beauty and sincerity of the Sahaba. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no, you will remain the Amir of the Hajj. Nabi Karim SAW has only delegated to me to make this announcement in Mina. That from now onwards, the method of how the days of ignorance they used to make, they come to the Haram and Baytullah and do their various things. Now only the way of Islam, Hajj will only be performed in that way and no other way. So that was in the 9th year of the Hijri, in which Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala led the Hajj, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu made very important announcements with regard to Hajj from the next year. In the 10th year after Zulhijjah, I mean the 10th year after Hijrat, Nabi Karim SAW led the people for Hajj. And there were various reasons. One of the reasons why that Nabi Karim SAW at that time, the Muslim Ummah had come together under the leadership of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was the most remarkable Ummah. And Ummah and the amount of people, those people were the best and choicest specimens of humanity. Nabi Karim SAW wanted to give them parting advices. Nabi Karim SAW wanted them to learn Hajj from him. And many a times during the Hajj journey, Nabi Karim SAW used to tell them, O people, learn from me the rites of Hajj. You will not get another chance to learn from me. Here was a clear indication that Nabi Karim SAW was given and in giving an indication that he was about to depart from this world. So many a times he used to tell them, learn from me, you won't get another opportunity. Only one Hajj that we can draw examples from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he performed Hajj. So in this way, and then of course another reason was, Islam had spread far and wide at that time. There were Muslims in Yemen, there were Muslims in different parts. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted an opportunity to be able to give parting advices to all of them. And to give an example of this, Nabi Karim SAW left Medina Munawwara with 40,000 people. 40,000 people. By the time Nabi Karim SAW started the Hajj, there were 124,000 people. So people came from the various clans in the various parts of Arabia to join this Hajj because it was to be the farewell Hajj of Nabi Karim SAW. Nabi Karim SAW left Medina Munawwara on the 26th of Zulqa'dah. And Nabi Karim SAW reached Zulhulayfa. And Zulhulayfa, as you and I are aware, is a place where the buses today stop for you to perform and for you to wear your ihram. It is sunnah to wear ihram from Zulhulayfa. Nabi Karim SAW could have wore ihram from Medina, but for whatever reason, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose to wear the ihram from Zulhulayfa. So Nabi Karim SAW remained and stayed and came there Asr time of the 26th of Zulqa'dah. Then Nabi Karim SAW spent the night in Zulhulayfa. On that night, Nabi Karim SAW, and the books of hadith makes mention of this, that Nabi Karim SAW was intimate with his wives. And the reason to make mention of it was, so then during the journey of Hajj, people then remain focused on the objective of worshipping Allah, and their minds do not wander, and their minds do not go into various other places. So in this particular way, Nabi Karim SAW spent that Saturday night, the 26th of Zulqa'dah in Zulhulayfa. The next day before Zuhar, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore his ihram. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that I put perfume on an itar on the ihram of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which came from a tree. And even after Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore the ihram, you could see the effects and you could see the color of that itar upon the ihram of Nabi Karim SAW. Ulama have said it is permissible for you to put on itar before wearing ihram, even if the smell lingers after ihram, but not permissible to put even a drop of itar after you have put on the ihram. So before Zuhr, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore his ihram, and Nabi Karim SAW made the intention for both Hajj and Umrah. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has made it easy for this ummah that we have been able to join both these ibadat in one journey. Allah has made it easy for us, and Allah has given us a concession to be able to join both Umrah and Hajj in one journey. And I will come to that also, inshallah, with regard to that. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Zul Hulaifa after Zuhr on the 27th of Zul Qa'dah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent different places. There were 7 stops Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made before he came to Makkah Mukarramah. One of the stops after Zul Hulaifa is a very interesting stop. It's a stop known as Rawha. Rawha is a place where you find a well today. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came to the stop and he stopped there, it is 74 kilometers from Madinah Munawwara. There is a well. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has even spoken highly about the well. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 70 Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam perform salat in Rawha. I had the opportunity to be able to drink water from that well. And come going to that well recently when we went for Umrah. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then spent a night in Rawha. After Zul Hulaifa, the next stop Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made was in a place called Rawha. Thereafter, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during Zul Hulaifa, there's also an incident that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's wife, Asma binti Umais, she was married previously to Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was martyred in the Jung of Muta, in the expedition of Muta, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu got married to her after that. She gave birth to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave relevant instructions. And she still, after giving birth, continued in the journey with our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent in Rawha. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Rawha, came to a place called Ithaya. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one of those stops, made cupping. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's joints or something was paining, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not well. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made cupping. Ulama have said, to make cupping while you're in ihram shows it's permissible, as long as you take precaution that the hair of the body does not fall out. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during the course of the first 2 or 3 nights, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made cupping. Then there was a very interesting incident. It happened most likely between the 3rd and the 4th stop. One was Zul Hulaifa, second was Rawha. The 3rd day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent in a place called Ithaya. And the 4th day, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at a place called Al-Arth. Now in this particular place, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had left his luggage with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the responsibility of looking after the luggage of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had appointed a slave to look after the luggage and had put all the luggage upon one camel. And when the 4th stop came, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw that the person was coming without the camel. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked him, what happened to the camel? What happened to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's luggage? What happened to the goods? What happened to my goods? And he said, somewhere along the line, it got lost. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got extremely angry, more angry for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than what he got for his own self. So you see, the type of challenges that you find in Hajj, it is something that is as old as history. It's something that we've got to understand, that when a person goes for Hajj, you're going to get your fair share. You know, sometimes you find, I actually sometimes smile when I see these adverts, hassle-free Hajj, trouble-free Hajj, luxury Hajj, subhanallah. If you want to go for luxury, then what do you need to go there? Do this for luxury. Make luxury here, why you want to go there? And part of that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention, Al-Hajj wa ashhurum ma'lumat, faman farada fi hinna al-hajj, upon whom has his faraj, fala rafatha, wala fusuq, wala jidal, subhanallah. 3 types of things Allah has made mention when you go for Hajj. One is you must not argue. One is you must not commit immorality, immodesty. And one, you must not commit guna. Now guna, if you know, sin is general. But why did Allah Ta'ala makes mention of 2 specific things? One is immodesty, because there is so many people. You are going to see male, you are going to see female. Guard your gaze. Go and see you don't commit immodesty in that Mubarak and blessed land. And then another thing, wala jidal. You are among so many people. And when there are so many people, there is a prospect of argumentation and disputes. Huh? Then therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. So nevertheless, in this way, I will just tell you one amazing thing. Ibn Jubayr rahmatullah alayhi performed Hajj 800 years ago. 800 years ago he performed Hajj. And you can read his account of his Hajj. He went from Spain, that time Spain was under Muslim rule, and he came right to Egypt, and Egypt he crossed the Red Sea to come into Hijaz. Right? And there he wrote, and you can read that book, and he says that when we were traveling from Egypt to Hijaz, the people of the boats, they packed up the boat so much that it became difficult for us to remain in the boats. There was inconvenience. We could not even stand properly. We could not sleep properly. And all of that they did because of money. They were not worried about the Haji. They were only worried about the Haji. People complaining about travel agents 800 years ago. Huh? 800 years ago we complained, and we're still complaining. Nevertheless, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw this and he became angry. And when he became so angry, he was almost on the point of beating up his slave. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at this person wearing ihram and look at how he's carrying on. Abu Bakr, be calm. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him something. There are certain things beyond your control. Do not get angry at things beyond your control. What a remarkable lesson. There are certain things that are going to happen that are beyond your control. If you go to the airport and your flight is delayed, no matter how angry you get, you're not going to change the matter. Certain things, don't get angry with things that are beyond your control. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got angry. And then look at this. When someone suffers a setback, then Fuzala Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu came with food, and he came with barfi, and you know, sweet meat in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I won't say barfi in the sense that what we know, but maybe according to that time. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, why are you getting excited? Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. And then by that time, someone came and saw the camel, and the camel was brought. But just as the camel was coming in with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's goods, another person got there and said, Ya Rasulullah, I've come to know that your camel has got lost. Yeah, accept my camel. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted back our camel. You see, now when someone loses something, what is a sunnah? What is a way? Go and console with him. Go and help him out. If he has lost something, go and provide for him and said, I've heard something has happened to you. What way I can help? Look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's luggage and goods got lost. How the Sahaba ikram hastened towards making it easy for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the next stop, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had kept the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in charge of a person by the name of Anjasha. Oh, this was very interesting. Anjasha, as he was taking the camels of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wife and the woman folk, Anjasha had a remarkable quality. And that quality was, when he used to lead the camel, he used to sing poetry. And his poetry used to be such that he used to bring the camels under control, but he had a very sweet voice. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Anjasha, be careful with your voice. Rifqam bil qawarir. Rifqam bil qawarir. Be sensitive to those creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are vulnerable. And who are the vulnerable one? The woman folk. So they get carried away sometimes by good praises, get carried away by sometimes a person rendering good poetry or in a melodious way. So he said, Anjasha, be careful with regard to this. Look at the way Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the woman. Rifqam bil qawarir. Those who are sensitive. You know, we will put something into the loading when we're traveling and we said fragile. Fragile. That is how, you know, qawarir could be, if you want to translate it, these women are fragile. Look after them. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention. Then in the fifth stop, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's camel broke down, could not travel. So Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha started crying. Ya Rasulullah, my camel has broken down. How am I going to complete this journey? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. Bear in mind, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha came from a very different background. She was from a Jewish background who came in the nikah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when you ever bring someone from a different background in your nikah, let me say this, another lesson. When you ever bring someone from a different gam into your nikah, and then your family, somewhere or the other, are going to taunt her, Then you learn from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you give your wife assurance against that taunt. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many a times when people used to taunt Safiya, that you are from a Jewish background, we are from Arab background, we are closer to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one day she came to complain to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, next time they taunt you, tell them, my great grandfather was Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. My husband is Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't taunt me. I am better than you or equal than you in rank. So if ever you bring someone from another background, then bear this was a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To give them assurance within your family and not to bear the taunt. Unfortunately, these ignorant customs still prevail in our community, and sometimes you have to address it. And then when she started crying, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and wiped away her tears and said, don't worry, we will take care of it. And she continued crying. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Zainab, with an extra camel, give this camel to Safiya. And she said, I'm not giving it to her. Why should I give it to her? And in this particular way, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became so angry with Zainab, didn't speak to Zainab for 2 months. I asked you for a camel, you had an extra camel, why didn't you give it? Right? But this, for whatever reason, maybe perhaps part of the competition in vying for the love of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then arranged a camel. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at a place called Abwa. And this was a very emotional and sentimental stop. The reason being that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother had passed away in Abwa. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the riwayat, stood for a very long time at a place where it is said that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother was. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at Sarif. And then eventually on the 4th of Zulhijjah, after 8 days journey, subhanAllah, today 8 hours we do it. Huh? And that also we complain. In Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after 8 days of journey, in when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at all these places, Zulhulayfa, Rawha, Ithaya, Al-Arth, Abwa, Usfan, Sarif, and Dhi Tuwa. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made his way into Makkah on the morning of the 4th of Zulhijjah, 4 days before the actual Hajj. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proceeded to go and perform his Hajj. Inshallah, we will make mention of this next week, inshallah. But let me just, before I end, that I thought we will come maybe to the time of Arafah, and I would speak something about Arafah. The day of Arafah, brothers, is very, very significant. And it will be on a Sunday. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that both our days coincides. So the 9th of Zulhijjah will be the day of Arafah. And yes, Arafah would be more blessed for those people who are there. But of course, we also believe in imitation, emulation. Many of our deeds in our Sharia is based on emulation. We don't cut our nails, we don't cut our facial hair on the first 10 days until we do Qurbani, out of emulation. Right? It is mustahab to be able not to do so. Right? And so there is emulation. On the 9th of Zulhijjah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that no other day where shaitan becomes more humiliated than on the 9th day of Zulhijjah, when he sees Allah's rahmat coming down. Let us also gather from there. Let us also spend some time in making ibadat. Amazing things and amazing aspects have been made. Hakim bin Hizam, I made mention of it last year, if I remember correctly. He used to take 100 slaves to Arafah for Hajj. Now that time slavery was in vogue and there used to be slaves. So on the day of Arafah, Hakim bin Hizam used to start freeing the slaves at the time before the time of wukuf. And then he used to make dua. Oh Allah, we have freed our slaves. Ya Allah, we are also your slaves. We are also in need of freedom from Jahannam. The way Allah, we have freed slaves here, you also free us, your slaves, from Jahannam. And this way, Yusuf. Fuzail bin Ayaz, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, if so many people who are in Hajj come and ask someone like Allah, who has so much power, authority, kingdom, for something small, because to forgive the entire humanity to Allah is very insignificant. For Allah is very easy. If all of them come to ask Allah Ta'ala for something small, come and ask a human being for something small, and so many people come and ask him, surely that human being will give it to them. Allah Ta'ala is much more ghafoorur rahim, much more compassionate. So on the day of Arafah, let us also, inshallah, try and emulate in whatever way we can do to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us his forgiveness the way he will grant forgiveness to those who are in Arafah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.